The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
It's Equal Pay Day, but one day women will not be celebrating. We'll explain. Meanwhile, a judge in Texas says the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act will not be enforced there. And today on the show, the latest from the Ohio AFL-CIO and the Communication Workers of America. Welcome to the Tuesday, March 12th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. Timothy Berga will be our first guest on the show today. Tim, longtime supporter of America's Workforce and longtime president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, going on about 12, maybe 13 years now. Ohio AFL-CIO. .org is their website, and today we're going to continue our discussion on gerrymandering and why we need to redistrict the districts in the state of Ohio. And I'll tell you, recently, Arnold Schwarzenegger, actor, former governor of California, held a press event to offer his support for what's called Citizens Not Politicians. Now, this is a campaign to end the illegal practice of gerrymandering in Ohio. This is all posted on the Ohio AFL-CIO website. The Terminate Gerrymandering event was held as petitioners are right now covering the state to collect signatures to place an Ohio constitutional amendment on the ballot November 5th that would replace the Ohio Redistricting Commission and the current way of drawing Ohio House and Senate and congressional districts with an independent commission. Now, the age of gerrymandering would end with this commission, an independent commission, as politicians would not be involved. That's right. We're talking 15 citizens, five Republicans, five Democrats, five independents. Now, Schwarzenegger said at this press event, he didn't know much about redistricting when he was elected California's governor. That was over 20 years ago, 2003. He said, I started getting into it, and he said what he found was politicians and extremists from both parties were dominating the process at the expense of progress, collaboration, and moderation. After changing California's process with an independent commission, the Arnold said more cooperation and civility took hold in the benefit of the state and the people. Isn't that what we want in all 50 states? It'll be a good conversation, and we'll see where we are right now with the gathering of those petitions with Tim Berga. Frank Matthews will be joining us later in the show. Frank is the administrative director for District 4 of the Communication Workers of America. National website, cwa-union.org. You got to check out their Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/CWAD4. And there's a really good post there by Pamela Cyphers, who's with CWA Local 4900. Pamela writes, both my parents were union members. My father with the United Mine Workers. My mother as a telephone operator with the Communication Workers. So I've always appreciated the opportunity to work in a union shop, but the impact for me is reflected in three distinct periods of my life. When I was young and single, I bought my first house. Many of my peers lived in rentals with hopes of meeting a spouse and then buying a home. I qualified to buy property because I earned excellent wages negotiated by my union, which allowed me to start acquiring equity. Fast forward, I married, had a child, then divorced, In the worst of times, my son and I thrive because of a secure job and good benefits. In the last chapter of my employment, I was able to retire at the age of 58 with 36 years of service with the same employer, even though I have been caught up in office closures twice. Union negotiated job protections plus a pension and 401k allowed me to retire and truly enjoy my time. I imagine my life at every stage would be very difficult and different if it wasn't for a union job. So thank you, CWA. I had to read that because that is reminiscent of all unions. So thank you, Pam Cyphers of CWA Local 4900. We'll talk with Frank about that. We'll talk about broadband. This is an interesting story, and this is out of the district. West Virginia has approved 10 fiber broadband extension projects for $33 million that would provide 666 miles of broadband infrastructure to connect 5,200 new locations that lacked broadband access. These grants are part of what's called the Line Extension Advancement and Development Program of the West Virginia Broadband Investment Plan. And the funding comes from the $100 million allocated, $90 million coming from the American Rescue Plan. And I think we all know who started that up in Washington. So we're seeing that money trickle into various states and communities. And we're going to talk about the importance. There's a lot of people that are not connected. And frankly, if you're not connected in today's world, you're out there. You're missing a whole lot. And probably you're missing a whole lot of money as well. So we'll get into that. And also, Frank wants to talk about a couple of things that Biden brought up at his State of the Union message last Thursday night, which is getting a lot of high marks, I might add. So Frank Matthews will be joining us as part of the Communication Workers of America. Again, national website, CWA-union.org. Now a brief look into the world of labor. The segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. Well, today, March 12th, is Equal Pay Day. Now, Equal Pay Day, mind you, is not a time for celebration. This date symbolizes how far into the year women must work to earn what men earned in the previous year. It's 2024, and despite attempts to narrow the gap, women still earn 16% less than men on average. That comes out to 84 cents for every dollar that a man makes. A 20-year-old woman just starting full-time year-round work stands to lose, listen to this, $407,760 over a 40-year career compared to her male counterpart. That's a chunk of change. Now, black women earned 64 cents for every dollar earned by white men. This statistic comes from 2022. So their Equal Pay Day is at the end of July, July 27th. And the pay disparity between black women and white women working full-time, part-time, year-round, part-year varies greatly by state. Listen to this. From just 43.3 cents on the dollar earned by white men in Louisiana to 71.7 cents on the dollar in Hawaii. Now, Friday's Labor Department report shows 114,000 additional payroll jobs for women, almost as many as the month before. The rate of unemployment increased to 3.5% for all adult women, 5% for Latinas, 3.3% for Asian women. It's been 4 years since the COVID she session began. Women's payroll job, women got clobbered. They lost a lot of jobs in the COVID shutdown. Well, women's payroll jobs have grown by almost 2.5 million since then, including 997,000 more jobs in education and health services, and 716,000 more in professional and business services. Let's go to Texas now, where Judge James Hendricks from the Northern District of Texas ruled that the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act should not be enforced there. The act would require employers in Texas to provide reasonable accommodations for pregnant workers like they do for disabled workers. Now, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission had proposed rules for implementing this act, which included abortion as a pregnancy-related condition requiring accommodation. The judge's ruling rests on a challenge under the quorum clause, claiming that the law is not valid since it was passed through by proxy voting with 201 members physically present. And he emphasizes that this ruling should not be applied broadly beyond this legislation. So, you know, a lot of states will be checking that out. And good news here regarding Starbucks. Starbucks backtracked on its union-busting tactics in discussions last week. Both the company and the union, Starbucks Workers United, issued statements promising a path forward for collective bargaining. Right now, about 400 Starbucks locations have so far voted to join the union since December of 2021, but none, zero, locations have secured a contract, which should not be a surprise. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tim Berger on behalf of the Ohio AFL-CIO.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Are you looking for a new healthcare partner for your union members? Let Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield be your champion, making sure your members live their healthiest lives, now more than ever. It's important to have a partner you can trust, one who understands the unique challenges unions face. Anthem provides a variety of options to meet your organization's needs and helps you control costs without sacrificing quality of care. For more information, visit anthem.com/labor and trust. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. In fact, we'll be joining Melissa Cropper, president of the OFT and secretary treasurer of the Ohio AFL-CIO, coming up 1 week from today, which will be election day. Hard to believe it's primary election day, which is also the first day of spring. Right now, let's go to Central Ohio and join one of our longtime regulars, Timothy Berger, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, ohioaflcio.org, and we'll talk a little bit about the primary, but first we're going to talk about redistricting, and for good reason, because we got a former governor who's now thrown his two cents in regarding the state of Ohio and the mess that gerrymandering has caused. Hey, Tim, welcome back to America's Workforce. And talk to me about this, about what Arnold Schwarzenegger said. I was talking about it a few minutes ago at the opening of the show. I thought that was kind of interesting. Can you tell us what happened here? Did he want to come to Ohio to talk about this? Because apparently there was a similar situation in the state of California. I'll let you pick it up from there. Go ahead, brother.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you again. Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Governor Schwarzenegger, was in town for his Arnold Classic, which is an internationally known health, wellness, fitness, bodybuilding sort of a competition. And immediately after the Arnold Classic closed, Governor Schwarzenegger joined us to throw his support in an event that we held behind the redistricting campaign and gerrymandering in Ohio. Why did he do that? As governor of California, he saw that rigged districts were creating this extremism, much like what Ohio has, where the primary elections tend to be more important than the general elections, and it brings out the extremes on the left, the extremes on the right. So California initiated an independent commission, similar to what Ohio now, what we're trying to do here, to take the politicians out of drawing the state legislative and congressional maps. And as a result of that, the governor said that what he saw was approval ratings of the legislators going up and more moderation. And why is this important for organized labor? Well, when you have more competitive districts that more reflect the statewide partisan preference rather than these 2-to-1 gerrymandered districts, you have legislators then that have to work for their vote and the issues that working people care about, whether it's collective bargaining, unemployment compensation, benefits for injured workers, prevailing wages. These are the sort of things that legislators aren't going to mess with if you have competitive districts and you have more moderation in the General Assembly. So we were thrilled that the governor threw his support behind this. And this is an issue that he feels very deeply about, as he experienced very directly the adverse effects of gerrymandering in his state of California. And some one-third of the states now have an independent commission, similar to what we're trying to get here in Ohio. And certainly that's the way to go. Take the politicians out of it. So citizens, not politicians, it's the campaign. It's the signature phase of the campaign, trying to get this thing to the ballot for the general election as a constitutional amendment. And if your listeners go to unionstrongohio.com, click on events, they can find out where they can sign a petition in the state.
unionstrongohio.com. That's the website you want to go to. Now, this independent commission, 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, 5 independents. Is this similar? Did Arnold say this is what they pretty much did in the state of California that's working? Is that this formula that came up here, the citizens, not politicians?
Well, it's more closely modeled after Michigan, which just happened recently. If you remember, and you had a lot of segments on your program talking about when Michigan, because of their gerrymandered districts, they put right to work in place. They put an independent commission on the ballot in Michigan, similar to what this policy is modeled after. The legislature balanced itself out and overturned right to work in Michigan. So you can see how this helps working people when you have fair and balanced districts and you take the politicians out of it. So it's closely modeled after Michigan, and there are guardrails in place, and there are there's language in place that makes sure that the policy will be adhered to, and it's not going to be stuck banging around the courts for years like what we've experienced, and we're still living under illegal maps. So this desperately is needed for the state of Ohio to get the, as you say, the politicians out of it, get the lobbyists out of it, just have an independent commission in place to make the best decisions in developing the state legislative and congressional maps to move the state forward.
The key word in this conversation is independent, because the people in the state of Ohio did go to the polls. And you and I talked about this many, many times on the show, Tim. I believe it was in 2015 and 2017, and they said, okay, we got to do better than what we're doing here with these gerrymandered districts. And apparently the politicians are still in the process, and that's why we are where we are today. So this is much different. So with that being said, give me an idea of where we are collecting signatures, how many we need, the timetable on all this. And again, we want to get this on the ballot on November 5th. So where are we, Tim?
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do, is to get something on the statewide ballot. We need roughly 415,000 good signatures across the state, with a threshold established in half of the 88 counties. From what I understand, between the volunteer campaign and an effort with paid staff, they seem to be well on pace to get there. And they've got until July 3rd in order to have the signatures submitted to the Secretary of State, which then will go out to the local Board of Elections to be validated. But I feel very strongly that there's a need to do this, there's a want to do it, and that it will get on the ballot. But again, we need Ohioans to really look into this, go to a petition signing event, help circulate petitions, and then let the voters decide how they feel about it. And I'm confident that based on what I've seen over the last several years, the voters of Ohio are ready to move on from our current process where the politicians are gerrymandering these legislative districts simply to help them stay in power.
Again, the website you want to go to is unionstrongohio.com, unionstrongohio.com. Now, Tim, let me ask you, I'm not on the site right now, but you can get all the information you need on that website. And as far as getting your name, is there a way you can get your name on, you know, through the website, or you have to actually sign a petition? Is that how it's working?
Yeah, you have to actually sign a paper petition that's in a booklet that they're circling all over the state. We actually have drive-through events happening where you can drive into a parking lot and there'll be a tent set up where you can sign your name to it. A lot of this is happening in local union halls and events also. But if you go to the website and click on events, you'll see where an event may be happening near you. You can also sign up to stay informed by putting your email address in on that website.
Mm-hmm. There may come a day where we'll be able to do stuff online, but that day is not now. So that, again, that website is unionstrongohio.com, unionstrongohio.com. Citizens, not politicians. 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, 5 independents. All right, we are 1 week out from the primary election. I know a lot of people have voted already. You've been through this many times, Tim. How do you feel about next Tuesday?
Well, all eyes are on the Republican U.S. Senate primary. Hotly contested, a lot of money being spent. Then we'll quickly focus after March 19th. To our effort to retain Sherrod Brown to the U.S. Senate. So organized labor has a true champion in Sherrod Brown. He sticks up for working people time and again. He saves our pensions. He stands for workers' rights, collective bargaining, you name it. So, but that's the marquee primary race. We are looking at primary races for the state house and all sorts of things. We have county commission races up. We have local union members running for office this year and as part of our Path to Power program, so we'll be engaged in that. But most of our work will be once the primary has happened, as we turn the corner and make our way into the general election.
Yeah, I know in the last election, there were a lot of union-endorsed members and union members that did win. Because of, because of the platform. I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense. If you're going to talk about working class issues, about wages and health care, Social Security, things like that, you want to get the right people in office and make that difference, make a good change for workers all across the state of Ohio. And it's happening in other states as well. Tim, I'm going to leave it on that note. Tim Berger, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, ohioaflcio.org is a website. And do check out that site for citizens, not politicians. Once again, it's unionstrongohio.com, unionstrongohio.com. Tim, you take care. We'll talk to you in another month, okay, brother?
All right, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America is coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel. For more information.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at UAW.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings. Before we get to a Frank Matthews, I'm going to do a shout-out here for the local building trades. The Apprenticeship Career Fair, and they've done this many, many times, is going to happen on March 27th. And this is in northeastern Ohio, Halley Drive, Pipefitters Local 120. Location, specific location is 6305 Halley Drive. Starts at 6, goes to 7:30 p.m. You can join the Cleveland Building and Construction Trades Council and partners for this career fair. And we're talking all the trades here. Boilermakers, bricklayers, carpenters, cement masons, electrical workers, glazers, heat and frost insulators, iron workers, laborers, operating engineers, painters, pipe fitters, plumbers, roofers and waterproofers, and sheet metal workers. So if you're interested, and I'll tell you, there are lots of job opportunities happening, not just in the state of Ohio and northeastern Ohio, but all around the country. And those of you listening, I know we have a national audience. If you have a similar career fair, I'll be happy to promote it here on America's Workforce. That's what we do. We support the unions. We support the trades. We support all workers here. We want to make a better life. And I'll tell you, getting in the trades, you'll get a better life. No doubt about that. Not easy work, but the pay and the benefits are incredible. So for more information, call Doreen Cannon, 216-459-0099, extension 143. Let me repeat that, 216-459-0099, extension 143. That will be on March 27th, Pipefitters Local 120 at 6305 Halley Drive, which is actually in Valley View, Ohio. All right, let's go to line number two. Welcome a dear friend, longtime supporter of America's Workforce, and that would be Mr. Frank Matthews, who serves as District 4 Director of the Communication Workers of America, cwa-union.org. And Frank, welcome to the show. I was talking about your Facebook page, and Is it Pamela Cyphers or Cyphers? CWA Local 4900. How do you pronounce her name?
Yeah, it's Pam Cyphers. Was out of our Indianapolis local, a retiree now. She was a local officer for a long time.
So talk to me about what you started. Now, March is Women's History Month. And right. And we've been profiling a couple of stories about women that have made history and are making history right now. And obviously, Pamela is one of them. So talk to me about this. I think this is a cool thing that you're doing.
Yeah, well, what we had originally started with on our CWA District 4 Facebook, Twitter, and webpage, we'd originally come up with the idea, okay, let's see, every Wednesday we would highlight like a really, really famous or a woman in labor in District 4 that had gone over and above or broken some sort of glass ceiling, that kind of thing. And the more we got to thinking about it, we said, you know what? Let's every day during the month have a quote from a different woman in labor in our district, a different member, retiree, that kind of thing. And so it's really turned out phenomenal. The shares and likes and comments have been really, really phenomenal. And, you know, there's a thread running through all of them besides, you know, a lot of the folks, as I mentioned before, had broken some sort of glass ceiling, but the common thread through it with the average woman in labor is that how being in a union leveled the playing field. It put them on equal turf in pay, benefits, and in Pam's case, enabled her to retire at 58, you know. And so I think there's a common thread through there. And when people read it, they think, you know, they have to believe that, you know, in a work environment where so often we hear of inequalities and inequities in pay between men and women and opportunity, one can only by reading these quotes, these bios, these stories, come up with the conclusion that being in a union is key, you know, for leveling those playing fields and for eliminating inequalities at the workplace. So we're pretty excited. It's turned out great. The likes and shares have been phenomenal. And, you know, I guess I'm an older guy, so I don't understand a lot of the stuff that our younger folks that put together these websites for us, our comms team. But it's like everything's based on likes and shares and that kind of thing. And these are just through the roof. People are really, really liking them and sharing them amongst all labor unions and amongst all Facebook pages. And it's pretty cool.
Well, coming from the PR world, I've been doing PR for, my gosh, over 20 years now. It's all about the story. And if you have a compelling story, people want to hear about it. Yeah, that's what they want to hear about. And what got me on this one... She's able to retire at the age of 58.
Right.
Frank Matthews, how many people can say that in America today, to be able to retire at 58?
Right. Not many. How many times are you out in public and through no fault of their own, but they just didn't have a union or something. There's, you know, you see a person that you know would like to be retired, and it's fine if people want to continue to work. But just to have that option and, you know, I mean, imagine this. I mean, it's okay. And many of these affidavits and these stories of what labor has done for me are from women that worked in the, you know, maybe the 70s, 80s when, you know, things were much different than they are now. And it just goes to show how the leveling of that playing field, the and that were so important. And you know, it's all about respect at the workplace, having a living wage job with benefits, and that's what a union affords most people. And you know, like you say, retiring at 58 is incredible. Without a union, that probably would have never happened.
No, no way. Those of you listening, check it out. Facebook.com/CWAD4. Small d, by the way. Facebook.com/CWAD4 is where you want to go and read all about Pamela. And speaking of Women's History Month, I just want to let you know that last week, this was last Tuesday here on the show, we featured Grace Catania, who's a longtime member of the News Guild, CWA, Local 34071. Great story. Immigrant. She comes to the United States from Poland back in 1980 when she was 20. And she found her way to the Food and Commercial Workers Union and then the Chicago Newspaper Guild, where she's working as a court reporter. And she got involved. My gosh, she's done a lot of stuff in the Illinois Legislative Political Action Group there, National Women's Committee with the CWA. But again, a fighter for women, a fighter for all. And Grace Catania. That show, by the way, is archived on awfpodcast.com. All right, let's switch gears here a little bit. I was talking about broadband. You and I really hit this pretty hard last month, and a story came to my attention about West Virginia. West Virginia has approved broadband extension projects for $33 million, and this all comes from funding. Guess where? American Rescue Plan. I mean, good things have come out of this administration. I mean, they got the ball rolling. And I know West Virginia is not in your district, but it's happening. It's starting to happen. And again, I want to pick up on the conversation we had last time about connectivity. It's important, so important in today's world that people are connected, because if you're not, you're missing everything. And how are we doing? In your opinion, we're making some progress, aren't we?
We are. We are. And things are going to start clicking. You know, you mentioned the West Virginia project, and that's just one of the first. The states are going to, you know, these state programs and these state, each state was charged with developing a plan, and then based on that plan, there was an incredible amount of money, $100 million per state at a minimum. And some states that come up with, you know, better plans are actually available to get much, much more. You know, so we're going to see most of these states across the country start doing what West Virginia is doing, is awarding these contracts. Now, the contracts that were awarded in West Virginia, I think that $33 million went to four different internet service providers, was going to equal 660 miles of broadband and you know, 5,000 to 6,000 locations. You know, what we have done through this process, in addition to promoting fiber where feasible and where it's best to do it. I mean, it's best to do fiber everywhere, because as we've said before, fiber is future-proof. We haven't found any limitation in one single fiber strand going anywhere. So what we mean by future-proof is, you know, back in the 30s, much like the Rural Electric Authority, when the electricity was built across this country, the Bell system built a network that has lasted almost 80 years. And they built a network out of copper, which was the state of the art at the time. And now the state of the art is fiber optic. So what we're saying is future-proof. If you're going to spend the money, you might as well spend it building a network that's going to be running 80 years from now, because we may never get this opportunity again. So, you know, all the other applications like wireless or coax, they all have limitations. You can't push but a limited amount of data through them. I mean, coax is you know, up there around, you know, 500, 600, 700 meg that you can push through it. But so far, you know, fiber optic has been infinite, and who knows 10 years from now just how much bandwidth, if you will, is going to be needed for each average home. So anyway, that's what we're pushing. We're pushing fiber optic, and we're pushing high road employers. We just don't want any run-of-the-mill companies installing this, because when there's this much money out there, you're going to have contractors come out of the woodwork. Some of these folks may have been putting in septic tanks yesterday, and now they see all this broadband money. So fortunately, back to my point of what's going on in all these states, we've been working with many states trying to get them to implement these standards, fiber where it makes sense and when available, and using high road employers. So I think, Flash, we're going to see a lot of states starting to click off here with the awarding of these contracts. And you know, to your point early on, thank God for President Biden to dump this much money in the American infrastructure and see that it's not only the broadband, it's the roads, it's the bridges, it's that, I mean, you look around. We talked prior to the Biden administration about how many parts of this country were starting to crumble, the roads, the broadband, that kind of thing. And if we don't do something, you know, it's not going to be good. Well, the President Biden's infrastructure program addresses all this, and I think you're going to see a lot of good things, and it's going to be jobs, because companies are going to be able to come to areas they've never been able to come to before because of the roads, because of the infrastructure and broadband. And it's really win-win. We've talked about that, but everything feeds off of everything. And this infrastructure plan is going to set this country right, I believe.
Frank Matthews, on behalf of the Communication Workers of America, CWA-Union.org. We'll continue our conversation with him right after this.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans. And we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers. And we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you could find more at teamster.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, labor's trusted health partner, bringing people, communities, and care together to transform the future of health. For more information, please visit anthem.com/labor and trust. America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. You can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Frank Matthews, District 4 Administrative Director for the Communication Workers of America, CWA-Union.org. By the way, District 4 encompasses Ohio Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Frank, I want to continue our conversation on broadband. You were talking about good contractors. Now, the Biden administration, in the legislation put forth in the first 2 years, allocated, I believe it was $65 billion. This was part of the Infrastructure and Jobs Act to expanding broadband. And in my concern and your concern as well is make sure we get high-end employers here. You want as much union representation as possible. I like your comment. You don't want somebody that was working on a septic tank now working on broadband, okay? There's a learning curve here. You want qualified people. What kind of guidelines is the administration giving on this? What do we know about that, Frank?
Well, for working families, I mean, because we had a friend in the White House when the whole infrastructure program was put in place, and what the president did was, when the infrastructure plan was passed, there was some directive in there that each state, when they're putting together their plan, must consult labor that's responsible for communications in their state. So that's not saying they had to follow what labor wanted to do, but it's saying that as part of this process, to please consult with labor on what would make a difference and what wouldn't, what that kind of thing. So that's where labor had the opportunity to, at each state level, and we did this with our broadband brigade. We had a person in each state that, still do have a person in each state that that works with the state legislature and has made contacts with, say, the Indiana Broadband Office, the Michigan, the Ohio. And that's where we stepped in and made our suggestions, providing them with actual data and facts that of the benefits of fiber optic, the benefits of high road employers, employers that don't violate safety standards, employers that don't misclassify employees so they don't have to pay that living wage or don't have to pay those. So, and use, when possible, in-state local employers, because you're spending this much money in your state and you're building this vast, why not get the double bang for your buck? And not only you're going to get a great network, but you can also take care of people from your own state, which also ultimately goes back into your state's tax base, that kind of thing. So that's what we've been sharing with them. And some states will, some states won't take us up on it. I think the majority will, because they get it. And our broadband brigade has done a heck of a job educating. They go out to villages and cities and municipalities across the states and actually educate these elected officials on just what I was saying earlier, on the differences between coax, between wireless, between fiber, what the scientific capabilities are, what the, you know, applications are. The benefit of that is it's easy for, you know, somebody that's really not familiar with broadband, or a non-layman, if you will. If somebody comes up and, you know, they're getting really poor service now in their community, somebody pops up and says, hey, we're going to give you a service that's going to offer you 50 meg or 75 meg from your house. That sounds great on the surface. It's like, oh, my God. That's like 10 times what I'm getting now. But what they don't realize is fiber is infinite, and they don't realize that 10 years down the road, that 75 meg is probably going to be nothing, because we see an America where you're running everything digitally through your home, whether it be your heating system, if you got 4 or 5 TVs that you're streaming, if you've got somebody in the house gaming. You've got, I mean, families use up a lot of bandwidth, and so we're just trying to future-proof this. This is our one shot. Thank God President Biden's doing this and dumping this much money into this. We have to do it right the first time. There is no margin of error here, you know. So
yeah,
thank God that was built in there, and that the states have all, to my knowledge, reached out to labor and said, hey, this is kind of what we're planning. do you have any comments or suggestions? And it's been nice. I don't think with President Biden, oh, I know. Let's just say without a labor-friendly president like Biden in office, labor would have never had a seat at the table.
Right, right. We're building the future here. That's exactly what we're talking about here with Frank Matthews. And I know you represent District 4, which are pretty much union-friendly states, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin. So it's good to hear that, I say this on the show so many times, that the needle's moving in the right direction. Well, Biden was pretty fired up in his State of the Union message on Thursday night. And then yesterday he came out with his budget, which is even more so. I mean, expanding so many social programs, making sure Social Security and Medicare are intact. How do you feel about this? I know he's a little behind in the polls, but I know it's still pretty early. What's your gut telling you, Frank? You've been through these cycles before.
Well, my gut's telling me, man, he's come out of the cannon firing hard. You know, the energy is unbelievable. You know, he's addressed, in my opinion, everything that needs addressed. All you have to do is do a comparison of how the candidates treat working families and treat labor, and it's a no-brainer. You know, the infrastructure, he did a great job of covering the infrastructure stuff, all the economic policies. Anything that could be addressed, he addressed. And, you know, he hit a few items that, you know, quite honestly, he called some folks out on kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth. You want to address this issue, but when you know, we come up with some bipartisan solutions, and they get squashed because it's an election year, that's kind of ingenuine, and I just think he called it out. You know, he did a great job. There's so much that he's done that he did, and he was not given, when he took over, a really great economy. You know, we were in the middle of COVID. People need to think back to that. So I think at the end of the day, you know, people are going to, in comparing, look at the issues, look at everything, working families in particular. We've never had a better president. And so, you know, I think he did a great job. I think he had about, 10 check marks to check, 10 boxes, and it was a slam dunk. And, you know, it's pretty refreshing to hear him talk about the infrastructure and the economic policies. And, you know, to your point, I think he spent a lot of time working families, whether you're in a union or not. Social Security and then the social services mean a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, and there is a certain group that treats Social Security and services like they're an entitlement, like it's a gift. Now, every person in this country has paid their taxes and paid into Social Security, and you know, just the fact that the GOP has started this group to look at, you know, it's basically Speaker Johnson has started this group to take a look at social services and Social Security. Well, you know what that means.
Yeah.
They aren't taking a look at it to expand it. They're taking a look on it, on how they can limit it or how they can cut benefits. And, you know, we have dubbed that committee in District 4 here and at CWA what it is. It's the Cat Food Commission. Because if certain people have their way and the Social Security and these services are cut, Americans are going to be eating cat food when they retire.
Yeah.
So you might as well call it what it is, you know.
You hit it right on the head there, Frank. We're going to talk more about that with Rich Fiesta on behalf of the Alliance for Retired Americans. That'll be on Friday's show. But you take care, my friend. Always appreciate your comments here on America's Workforce. Frank Matthews, Communication Workers of America, CWA-Union.org. That'll be it for another edition of the show. Coming up tomorrow, Randy Weingarten of the American Federation of Teachers and the Coalition for a Prosperous America on U.S. Steel. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.